This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that leads the show are carriers. Yes, phone carriers. Mobile phone carriers are selling your real-time access to your phone data. Some Google employees walk out over DoD contracts. Legalized online gaming is coming our way. And the NES Classic is back. Hey, I'm sounding in my headsets a little overdrawn. How are we sounding on online today? Is it sounding real bassy? It is kind of to me. I don't know why. Something is off. And I have no idea what's off. I guess it'll be what it is for the show. But hey, I want to welcome you to episode 1282 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, May 14th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners and all of you that are part of the Ohana. Those of you that have been longtime listeners of the show, thank you for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And of course, if you are brand new to the show, it's real simple. We want you to become part of the Ohana. And to do that, all you got to do, well, let me hit the right button here. All you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, let's see if I can make some things go away. When you're over on the website, definitely click on the subscribe button via Apple Podcast or on Android, via email. Yes, you can get the show via email. You can listen on Google Play, on Stitcher, TuneIn. I'm even can be found over at Spotify as well. So definitely check those places out to get the show. And really just the top two, if you're on your mobile phone, whether you be an Android or an Apple user, those two selections will get you 95% of the way there. If you don't have an Android podcast app already, we'll drive you over to a website and give you an opportunity to pick one of like 15 that you can use one click to subscribe on the show. So definitely subscribe. A little bit further down the page is a link to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm basically going to talk about during today's show. That'll go out. And of course, then you can stay abreast via email on what's been said in the show. You can visit Geek News Central Daily to read the great content. Of course, you can always join us on I'm Live at live.geeknewscentral.com. The chat room's over there. You can jump on and chit-chat as well. So definitely come over to geeknewscentral.com and click on the live button or just come to live.geeknewscentral.com. I don't know what it is. The audio is off in my ears. And I'm looking at the waveform, and it looks off as well. So something is amiss, and I've had the cover. Nothing has changed since Saturday. Everything was good. I don't know what it is, but you know, it's and when you have a little bit of audio tweak during the show, and I like a dummy, I just slap the headsets on and rock and rolled. So that'll teach me. Podcaster Lesson 101. Check your audio before you start the show. Hey, you can join us on our chat room at geeknews.chat. If you've got comments on today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. If you follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, we have our Slack channel still. If you want to join our Slack chat channel, you can do that as well. You can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. You can listen on Stitcher or at blueberry.com. You can use your smart home device, whether it be an Amazon device, a Google Home device, Microsoft smart device. Use your keyword to get your device listing and then ask the device to play the podcast Geek News Central. That'll get it 90% of the time. And that way you can listen to the latest edition of the show on your smart home device. When you're hanging out at the house or in your bedroom or in your office. Of course, partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site being written by my GNC team at ProGear.Guru, The New Media Show at NewMediaShow.com, and Podcast Legends at PodcastLegends.com. This show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the universe. If there was a Guinness Book of World Records to give out, they would be it. They've sponsored this show continuously since June of 2005. And of course, that'd be our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And we want you to save money when you are looking for a domain name, you're looking for a hosting account. Even when you're picking up products and services over there, we've got a code for you to use, whether it be 30% off on a new product purchase, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, which includes, yes, a free domain. So for $12, you get basically everything you need to go and have an online website. Again, $12 is all it takes to get started with an online website. You're in the shower, you have an idea for something cool, you want to launch a new business, don't worry. We've got you covered. 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So lots of ways to support the show at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely check out all the deals that are available. Support the sponsor. Help me keep the lights on. All right. If this hasn't been one thing, it's another around here. I took essentially, I don't take like weekends off because Saturday morning we did the new media show. Of course, Sunday was Mother's Day. And then, you know, Saturday I had some honeydew list stuff to do, but I was pretty lazy this weekend. We used our movie pass cards to go see a movie. Matter of fact, my son hadn't seen Infinity Wars yet. So we went to Shoko and I used our $10 a month movie pass, and I had to buy his ticket because one thing I learned about movie pass, you cannot have a movie pass card unless you're under or over 18. So basically I had $10 for his ticket. So, $10 got us in the door. Of course we've paid $10 a month for the movie pass cards as well. So interesting. You know, it's pretty simple to use. It got to within 100 meters of the movie theater, checked in, selected the movie that we wanted to in the time that we wanted to use, walked up to the counter, and we got up to the counter. I basically put three cards on the table. I put the two movie pass cards on the counter and my credit card. And then all it really took was about 3 minutes, a little bit longer than normal to do a check-in. And bada bing, bada boom, we picked our seats and in we went. It wasn't optimal from seat picking because you can't pick your seats until you, and the best way to do this is if you're going to go watch a movie with MoviePass, you've got some time and you're going to do it at a mall, you go early, check in, pick your time, pick your seats, get your tickets, and then go eat lunch. And that way you can get grouped together. Otherwise, you're not going to get... You show up 20 minutes beforehand. Here, at least, everyone's already pre-bought their tickets. And for us, we were onesie-twosied across the movie theater. So that was interesting. But overall, can't complain about the price. Really, I can't. All right, vacation planning is hot and heavy. And I've got some dates. And I've locked in what I'm going to do. And where I'm going to go, keeping that semi-reserved at this point. I'll probably tell you guys afterwards. But I leave here, leave Honolulu, or we leave here on June 16th. And we're not back until the 27th. So pretty significant vacation, not within the borders of the United States. I found tickets that were cheap. And, I could not resist, getting these tickets. So, that's my plan here is to be out the 16th to the 27th. So I'll talk with Kirk on how we're going to work the show schedule. But, that is the plan. I'm kind of excited, about having a completely disconnected vacation where the mobile phone is largely going to be put away and email. So that's on the list, but we'll keep the shows going for you while I'm gone. But I leave tomorrow night. I fly out, for those of you listening on Tuesday, I fly out Wednesday night to go to Columbus. My team at Raw Voice Blueberry is having their weekend lock-in meeting. We start Friday morning, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I come home on Monday. So big weekend of work ahead. So my relaxed time this weekend is going to be used brainstorming all weekend on where we're going to take our business in the rest of the year and maybe into early next year. So those of you, anyone that's in Facebook or on YouTube at live.geeknewscenter.com, let me know how the audio sounds on your side, all right? Because something is wrong. I can hear it, but I don't want to stop the show to fix it. All right, USL carriers are, this is a story that popped to the top late today. And Kirk had done the run through about 6 p.m. his time on the East Coast, which is still pretty early here. So I was checking for anything that dropped, but this is big. USL carriers are selling access to your real-time phone location data. This specific company is embroiled in a privacy issue and has direct connections to all major U.S. wireless carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint, and Canadian Cell Networks, too. If you missed it, which we did, a senator last week sent a letter demanding that the FCC investigate why Securus, S-E-C-U-R-U-S, which is a prison tech company, can track any phone within seconds by using data obtained from the country's largest cell giants. The story blew up because a former police officer snooped on phone location data without a warrant, according to the New York Times. This specific sheriff has pleaded not guilty to charges of unlawful surveillance. Little is known about how location smart obtained the real-time location data on millions of Americans, how the required consent from cell phone user was tamed, and who had access to the data. Kevin Bankston, director of the New America Open Technology Institute, explained in a phone call that the Electronic Communications Privacy Act only restricts telephone companies from disclosing data to the government. Now hold on to your pants here. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act only restricts telecom companies from disclosing data to the government. It doesn't restrict disclosure to other companies who then may disclose that same data to the government. He calls that loophole one of the biggest gaps in U.S. privacy law. This issue does not appear to have been directly litigated before because of the way that the law only restricts disclosure by these types of companies to government. LocationSmart, a California-based tech company, is one of a handful of so-called data aggregators. It's claimed to have direct connections to cell carrier networks to obtain real-time cell phone location data from nearby cell towers. It's less accurate than GPS. But cell tower data won't drain a phone battery and doesn't require a user. The company boasts coverage of 90% of the country. They say we utilize the same technology used to enable emergency assistance, includes cell tower and cell location and cell sector location. So companies buy into location smart location data for many reasons. Sometimes it's to help locate a nearby store, or send a marketing text message when the person visits a rival store. Location data can be used by companies to track deliveries or shipments, or by banks to fight fraud. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. Is this comment by this gentleman from the New America's Open Technology Institute that says that the ECPA only restricts telecom companies from disclosing data to the government. It doesn't restrict disclosure to other companies. How can this be? How can this be? I saw this and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. So Securus can, if you're a client with them, you put in a telephone number and it tells you where you're at. It doesn't, no. Okay. If the police want to know where you're at, they have to go to a judge. They have to get a warrant. They have to go back to the cell phone company and give them that warrant. And then the cell phone company has to give up your location data or where you have been. This company can do it on demand for private companies, not for the government. Now, let me think about this for a second. If I'm law enforcement and I need the location on someone and I don't have a warrant, I just go over to this private company and say, hey, tell me, here's a telephone number. Pop this in. Let me know where this phone's at right now. Get the location for me. This is real time, not yesterday, where you are right now. How is this possible? How is this possible? What do you think? What do you think, audience? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear it. Are you surprised? Or is just another like, here we go again? And I only saw one article on this, ZDNet. Amazing. Well, moving on here. Some Google employees resigned in protest. It's been nearly 3 months since many Google employees and the public learned about the company's decision to approve artificial intelligence to a controversial military pilot program known as Project Maven, which aims to speed up analysis of drone footage by automatically classifying images of objects and people. Apparently, about a dozen Google employees have resigned in protest over the company's continued involvement in Maven. The resigning employees' frustrations range from particular ethical concern over the use of artificial intelligence in drone warfare to broader worries about Google's political decisions and the erosion of user trust that could result from these actions. Okay, so let me run a hypothetical through you. This is DOD, right? Okay, this is not some three-letter agency. This is the DOD. And drones are not flown over U.S. cities, maybe for training, but not for anything else. We're not allowed to. Now, if it's the National Guard or something like that, different story. But Navy, Air Force, Marines, Army, Coast Guard, they're not doing prosecutions over your neighborhood. They're going after bad guys. And it looks like the DOD has engaged to basically help speed up analysis. Imagine having to sit in front of a big screen TV all day and essentially watch drone footage and being an operator and catching something or being able to tell if something's going on or missing something. Probably happens a lot. But if you got a computer doing the analysis, you know, a computer can pick stuff out that the human can't by classifying images of objects. So I understand where they're going here. But some Google employees don't like this. And some of the employees says, historically, Google has promoted an open culture that encourages employees to challenge and debate product decisions. But some employees feel their leadership no longer as attentive to their concerns, leaving them to face a fallout. Over the last couple of months, I've been less and less impressed with the responses and the way people's concerns are being treated and listened to, one employee who resigned said. So about 4,000 Google employees voiced their opposition to Project Maven. You can just about imagine what's going on here is that you've got probably a small skunk works of employees at Google with security clearances that work behind a closed door. They're probably doing this work. And when people are behind closed doors, those that are not don't like it, because the people behind a closed door know something that the people on the opposite side of the partition do not. And I'm sure with the culture of Google being always open in the past, that this is a bit of an issue with that organization. Let's face it. Let's use some reality here. Artificial intelligence is, if not used by the United States, is going to be used by other countries. And if we aren't up upon utilizing that as part of a DoD project, then we're kidding ourselves here. We really, really are. And almost every big company, I can just about, you know, I'd love to see the percentage, but I can't imagine many companies that are not Fortune, let's say 500. There's probably the majority of Fortune 500 companies have some sort of Department of Defense government contract. And probably some of that is very, you know, very classified work. I just can't imagine most big companies, that's what they do. They go out and get government business. And that's the golden goose that keeps laying the golden egg. Literally. So, but interesting. What do you think about Google employees resigning? What do you think about Google being used as a skunk work to analyze drone imagery? What do you guys think about that? Love to hear your thoughts. Hey, and the biggest ruling, this is big. The Supreme Court allows states to legalize sports betting, opening floodgates for online gambling profits. You know, I was, be honest with you, you guys know I like to shoot a little craps now and then, within reason. And I had a chance to drop into an MGM casino recently. A little table's honestly way too rich for me. I went to the bar and had a couple of cocktails, because when the tables are like $25 minimums, that's like, no, thank you. I'm a $5 table guy, right? I've only done very, very minor every once, like in a blue moon, like when I was in Vegas, I was going to vote on the, I mean, not vote. I was going to bet on the, UFC fight that, ended up getting canceled. So I didn't have a chance to bet on that fight. You know, that's like one bet in 5 years for sports betting, but let me just tell you, DraftKings and FanDuel have just been given a potential $1 billion windfall by the Supreme Court. In a 6-3 decision, Supreme Court justices struck down a federal law that had banned gambling on sporting events in most states. The implications for state tax revenues and around arguments for making significant change to the way college athletes are compensated or should be compensated are huge, but clear winners from this ruling are the online betting companies, or any media company that has any sort of exposure to live streaming sporting events. DraftKings and FanDuel are definitely clearly the early winners here, but you can absolutely be guaranteed that the big boys, the MGMs, the players clubs, those folks are going to be on this hot. The case before the Supreme Court concerned the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, which outlawed states from approving sports gambling. At the time, the court gave exemptions to states that already had sports lotteries, Nevada, because, well, you know, Nevada. Other states had the opportunity to opt in, but they couldn't get their act together in time to approve sports betting in their legislatures. So this is big. This is big, big, big. This ruling may have implications for other industries been trying to get on more secure legal footing. And we know that some states have decided on the legality of both gambling online and marijuana, of course, nationwide. So interesting. I don't know how marijuana ties to sports, but that's at least what the article says. So if you are a sports bettor, just be aware. But you know what? Here's what really did amaze me. And I'll be honest with you. I don't understand. Well, I stood and watched a baccarat table. I don't know how to play baccarat, but it's like, as I watch, it's the simplest game to play that one could ever imagine. And quote unquote, there's supposedly a system, and I don't believe in any system. Cards are cards. I saw people gambling $1,000, $2,000 on basically a single play of baccarat, and repeatedly win, lose, 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 win, win. I sit there astonished because I don't know where people get that kind of money. I mean, not just a few people playing big hands, a lot of people playing big hands. You know, like I said, I'm a $5 player, right? And when I see someone with, you know, a stack of $100 chips on a single bet, I really do wonder, what business are you in? Because, you know, sitting there for a couple hours, they could gamble away hundreds of thousands of dollars or win hundreds of thousands. And definitely a whole different level than anything. I hear this is the case all across the country with baccarat. Because I would just sit there astonished watching, to be honest with you. And what is the deal? You know, it's just, I don't people pool their money, or I don't get it. I wouldn't pool my money with anyone. No way, no how. You know, work too hard to keep the lights on, you know. All right, NES Classic Edition, will be available again on June 29th. Many gamers include, and I'm not a gamer, but I just wanted to collect one, were disappointed when the NES Classic was canceled. And in this new announcement, the company's confirmed that the NES Classic was sold again starting on 29th of June. And this is in line with the company's promise last year that when they announced the NES Classic would be making return in significant numbers. So let's hope they have plenty of stock. So mark your calendars. And I'll be on the lookout as well to try to get one. I'm glad I didn't spend $300 for one. So we'll see if they get enough to market this time. It's going to be the same mad rush. Absolutely same mad rush. There's no reason why it won't. But anyway, we'll see what happens here. Netflix content chief says 85% of new spending is on originals. Woo! Netflix is sharply steering new content spending towards original projects. They pegged its content spending for 2000 to be $8 billion. Whoa. Netflix will have around 1,000 originals on the service by the end of 2018, with 470 of those set to premiere between now and the end of the year. More than 90% of Netflix customers regularly watch original programming. I watch a lot. I'm watching on HBO right now. I'm watching or on HBO Go or HBO Now. I'm watching some, you know, what I've seen is a lot of, is this one Latin or I've seen a lot of stuff come out of Brazil. This one's not out of Brazil. It's out of, it's not Spain. It's horrible, but it's a, it's basically been adopted. You know, it's got subtitles, but it's a pretty good series on HBO. And, so I've been seeing a lot of these types of stuff cross over. So there is definitely stuff being made in other countries that have piqued my interest. It's too bad I can't think of the name of it here. It starts with a, I think an N. I'm not sure, but anyway. All right, let's move on here. There's a new feature from YouTube called Take a Break. And, you know, with YouTube videos, you can't just watch one. Now, thanks to a new update, YouTube is finally admitting that too much of a good thing can be bad. And basically, you can set it up so it limits how many hours or how many minutes of YouTube watching. It makes you take a break. I think it's only on your mobile phone. Don't think it, this particular feature works on your desktop, but it will work on your mobile phone or your tablet. Link will be up in the show notes on that and how you can implement a take a break time. Also, Amazon Go, the cashierless stores are coming in San Francisco, says a report. So this is pretty cool. And so the question is, when are they going to start making Amazon Go be a part of their new grocery chain that they purchased? So we'll see. But Amazon Go is coming to two cities as they experiment more with this. All right. Roku is discounting players, offers free TV shows, movies with ads. The occasion, National Streaming Day. I know you've never heard of this either, but apparently it's May 20th. In case you don't have a calendar circled, make sure you do that. And so basically they're going to give a $10 to $15 off on some of their players. And through the 20th, Roku is also streaming a handful of shows for free that you'd normally have to pay for. They include season one of Billions. Oh, I'm going to have to. Is that it? Who made that particular show? The Fair and Ray Donovan from Showtime. Get Shorty from Epix. And the four best Shazam and Love Connection from Fox. And the Murder of Lacey Peterson from A&E. So a number of shows you can watch for free. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Definitely check it out if you're a Roku user. Also, NASA has granted and funded a five-year mission to help seek out alien life. So the NASA's Astrobiology Institute has awarded five-year grants to three research teams who will hunt for life in the universe. This is not the SETI piece. Is there life on Mars? David Bowie's famous line lies at the center of modern astrobiology research. So, again, they've done evolution of nanomachines, the Astrobiological Center of, oh my God, I can't even say that word, isotopology, and they've also done something with the Cassini-Huygens mission with JPL. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, very, very cool video of some of Jupiter swirling clouds and some pretty mesmerizing, I mean, it's actually kind of weird. And link will be up in the show notes, but it reminds me, well, I don't know how you to really describe it, but Jupiter's atmosphere is unlike, I would say, very thick soup. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So link will be in the show notes. You can check it out yourself. You can see what the cloud moving on Jupiter looks like. Or you can use your Amazon device to start a $180 RoboVac while you relax by the pool. And yes, I know some of you have fired your pools up because it's starting to warm up there on the lower 48. So right now you can save $70 in the purchase of the RoboVac. This is a obviously a competitor here to some of the other vacuum cleaners that crawl the floor. and basically controlled by your Amazon device. Harrison Ford has been digitally inserted into Solo, a Star Wars story trailer. It's a fan-made video. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And, you know, Solo's coming, I think, May 25th, I think, is the date. Solo's, no, May 24th, the day before GDPR, before GDPR comes upon us. But this is a movie I'm definitely going to be in to see. And are you guys excited to go see Solo? I am. I'm really excited to go see Solo. I've seen the preview a couple of times at the movie theater. But anyway, this fan version, 2-minute video is pretty slick. Did a good job. You got to love fans. They do some amazing stuff. All right. How many of you have struggled with Photoshop, or how many of you are just getting started using Photoshop? I've got a link for you tonight. 7 techniques to help you start learning Photoshop. Give you some basics in design. How do you use the workspace? Use the tools. Some skills that they teach you can basically do some fine editing. Photoshop, one of the most powerful image editing tools in the space, but there's a lot there that most of us have to dig in to find out. So Verizon has a new phone service. It's called Visible. It's a new startup, and it's offering phone service via an app. And so when you're looking at pre and postpaid cell phones, you know, there's countless to choose from. There's AT&T and T-Mobile, but you also got Mint. You've got Cricket. You've got a whole bunch of other ones. And but Verizon's trying to do that with a new startup. Visible aims to make phone services dead simple and affordable as possible. Even in an early stage, looks to be very promising. So Visible only offers one plan. It costs $40 a month. For that price, you'll get unlimited calls, texts, and data in the United States. There aren't any contracts. You can cancel anytime. It's on Verizon's 4G network. You can bring your own phone. And what makes Visible unique, rather than worrying about carrier stores, multiple plans, and everything else, Visible houses everything in its mobile app. After signing up for the plan, download the Visible app, enter your account info, and then pop your SIM in when it arrives. After that, you're ready to rock. So it's kind of turnkey. Very, very slick. So you just change out your SIM, and you're good to go. And very, very cool. Smart. So Visible is the new one. $40. And I like it. You get unlimited calls, text, and data in the U.S. only. Apple's CEO Tim Cook did the commencement speech at Duke, and he told their graduates to think different. He also took the opportunity to point out that Apple rejects the excuse that getting the most out of technology means trading away your rights to privacy. And now Cook himself is a Duke graduate. And he dared them to think different, borrowing from a line from Apple's famous ad campaign. And so anyway, you can watch the commencement. You can watch his speech. It's available within the show notes tonight. The U.S. Senate will vote on May 16th to possibly restore net neutrality. Now, remember, even if the vote passes the Senate, there's still a long battle ahead. And very unlikely that the president will sign it. So even if it gets through the House. So keep you advised here, right? Lost in Space, I guess it got a good enough reaction. You know, I'm sorry. I think I've watched 3 episodes. My son loved it. I'm kind of meh to it. Forced myself to try to watch, I think, the 3rd season. But they renewed it. So I don't know. It just isn't quite doing it for me completely. Now, those of you that like luxury vehicles, got one here for you. Out of my price range, the 2019 Audi A8, beautiful vehicle, $83,000 price tag, and that's a few pennies there. That's actually a lot of GoDaddy hosting accounts. But anyway, nice vehicle. If you're into cars, into Audi, definitely check out the article, all right? Have you been to Chili's recently? I'll be honest with you. I'm not a Chili's fan. The only time we eat at a Chili's is in a last resort. I'm really not a big fan of Chili's. But if you've been eating out at Chili's, it may put your credit card info at risk. The restaurant chain revealed it suffered a data breach, possibly exposing credit card and debit card information for customers who recently dined at its restaurant. Learned of the breach May 11th. And it says not every Chili's location or customer is affected. Chili believes that malware used to gather credit card info from pay stations for in-restaurant purchases. It believes the breach occurred between March and April. So just another long line of point-of-sale systems getting hacked. I keep getting asked this, but yes, I'm okay. The big island of Hawaii is 270 miles away from where I'm doing the show tonight. But the folks from NASA were able to snap some pictures. And it's today they've had, I think, the 19th fissure open up. There what they call a red alert in some neighborhoods. The sulfuric acid or whatever that, you know, whatever it spews is extremely dangerous right now. A lot of devastation there. A lot of families, of course, lost their homes and just can't go back. The winds have been such that it's not, at least the trade winds are keeping the, you know, keeping most of the nastiness offshore, but as soon as the trade winds stop, it could get interesting for the whole state. Even here where I live, we'll have volcanic fog is what it really is. All right, moving on here. Those of you that have been using Macs for years, you've been able to airdrop between machines, right? But now you want to airdrop between Windows, Mac OS, iOS, and Android devices? Oh, yes, siree. Very, very simple. Just do it via shared network drive. You can use tools like Dropbox, or you can use SnapDrop. There's a variety of stuff. If you have both Windows machines and Apple machines in your home, there's ways to get the media shared relatively easily. If you have had trouble with that in the past, definitely we'll link that up for you in the show notes. So as I reminded everyone, Sunrise Day for the GDPR is 25th of May. And simply put, your site or service is a violator if it extracts or processes personal data without personal permission, real permission, that is. You know where you specifically say, in very few places, don't track something. And so it's going to get very, very interesting here after the 25th of May. It really, really, really is. Data on 3 million Facebook users has been exposed. Oh, surprise, surprise. Researchers at the University of Cambridge uploaded user data from 3 million Facebook users on a shared portal. They locked the data with a username and password, but students later posted the login credentials online. It exposed the data to anyone who did a quick web search to find the username and password, according to a report Monday from New Scientist. This has echoes of the larger scandal plaguing both Facebook and researchers affiliated with the University of Cambridge political consultancy Cambridge Analytica, improperly obtained data from 87 million Facebook users. So in this new data exposure incident revealed by New Scientist, this is a different set of researchers collected user information with consent through a personality app called My Personality. So the My Personality app has been suspended since April 7th. Facebook is aware that the login credential was published on GitHub, and the issue was flagged in the company's program for fielding information about potential misuse or abuse of Facebook user data. So lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. AT&T is facing a pregnancy discrimination suit. AT&T's attendance policies may have unfairly discriminated against pregnant women. Katia Hills and Cynthia Allen, who previously worked for AT&T Mobility, cited the business's no-fault attendance policy, which assigns point-based demerits for late arrivals, early departures, or absences. The lawsuit, which was announced by the American Civil Liberties Union, claims both women were fired for missing work due to pregnancy-related medical care. In one of the cases, one of the women had to miss work because of her infant son emergency medical care. And, of course, AT&T has nothing to say. They're saying they're reviewing reviewing the complaint. And we'll see where this leads. But would not be surprised based on how AT&T's been. The Wi-Fi Alliance has been very, very powerful over the year. And they've done a lot to keep our Wi-Fi standards all together. But there's something new. It's called the Wi-Fi Easy Mesh Certification. And it aims to standardize mesh networks. And most of you say, what is a mesh network? Well, let me just basically say that everything in your home that's on Wi-Fi, much of that will intertalk between each other in years to come. And they basically want to assure customers that they can build out wireless home networks without worrying if one brand of devices will be compatible with another. So the emergence of mesh networking somewhat undermined that effort because every manufacturer pursued its own path. Wi-Fi is still Wi-Fi, so you don't need to worry about your smartphone or media streamer or home security camera connected to your wireless router regardless of brand. But if you buy a Linksys VLAP router today, for example, you can only buy Linksys VLAP access points if you want to expand your network to cover more areas of your home. So Easy Mesh promises to bring mesh networks the same interoperability assurances that conventional routers have long offered. So because gateway protocols, extended agents, again, different devices as well. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Ars Technica has the Android P Preview 2, and they're not impressed. With Google I.O. winding down, the folks over there have had finally spare a second to look at the newly released Android P, and it has a bunch of issues and some big changes coming. So they've got some concerns, and it's covered in this app. But things are changing. And so some of the navigation and settings have changed and that they're not completely pleased with. And it's a mixed bag of updates. So again, link will be up in the show notes. Google is revamping its consumer storage plans today by adding a new $299 per month for 200 gigabits of storage and dropping the price of its 2 terabyte plan from $19.99 a month to $9.99 a month, and dropping the $9.99 a month 1 terabyte plan completely. I'll be honest with you, for any of you that listen to the show and you're looking for storage, S3 works really, really well. I've got a ton of data stored up on S3. And the thing I like about S3, you're almost, unless you don't pay your bill, you're almost guaranteed that your data will never be lost because of the way they share it. Now, strange things can still happen. A nuclear weapon could drop on a data center. But if that happens, we get bigger problems. But I'm a big fan of storing stuff on S3. And I have some stuff in their cold storage, too, that I know I will probably never need access to. But the cold storage is so cheap. It's a good way to offload stuff that's on S3. And if I do need it, I pay a little penalty to get it out of cold storage. But S3 has a lot of great options. You got to be a little bit geeky to set some of it up, but there's plenty of tools out there to make it happen. There's an Anker charger that brings Amazon smart device into your car. You can get the Anker's Rove Viva with the Alexa commands for $39. So I don't know if you want her in the car, but this is a potential to be able to do this. And it's normally $50, $39. link them up in the show notes. Sorry for yawning on you. So the original Lois Lane, rest in peace. The actor died at 69, and she star of the popular 70 horse from Black Christmas and Amityville Horror. She is best known for her iconic role as Lois Lane in the Superman film series of the 1970s and 80s along Superman star Christopher Reeve. And so sad that she has passed away. So those of you that were a true Lois Lane fan, yes, she has, the original has went on. Apple versus Samsung, 548 million smartphone patent battle returns to court. So Apple and Samsung are once again squaring off, and they're seeing an endless series of patent litigation battles in what's expected to be a 5-day trial. The case, like many others past, will be argued before Judge Lucy Koh, who has jurisdictional reasons as preside over various Apple-related cases, and just goes on and on and on and on and on. Old news. Check this out. A brain pacemaker could help stroke patients recover quickly. Quicker. Whoa. Vagus nerve stimulation, VNS, may play a beneficial role in the motor recovery of stroke patients. New clinical trials at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center has revealed, as part of their therapy, stroke rehab specialists surgically implant the microtransponder Vivitism, an electrical device that simulates the vagus nerve, into the patient's chest wall. It works via a wireless transmitter, which picks up signals, redirects them to the vague nerve located in the neck, and simulates the brain whenever a therapist pushes a button. The device assists patients by strengthening motor connections when they perform an action correctly. Essentially, it's rewiring brain circuitry, a phenomenon also referred to as neuroplasticity. This means that the release of neurotransmitters from the brain could help a patient who lost mobility in the arms or legs slowly regain control. So this is exciting stuff. There's a cool video on it too. And so many people have strokes these days. And if they can do anything to help people get back to the road recovery faster, because it's so devastating. We've probably, every one of us in this show knows someone that's had a stroke. And, you know, there's small ones and there's big ones. And the big ones can be just completely devastating. All right, a couple of products for you. The Corsair Flash Survivor Stealth 128 gig USB 3.0 flash drive is down to $34.99 from a street price of around $65. The 64 gig version's at $34, so you might as well get the 128. So the link is up in the show notes on that. And finally today, the new Galaxy S10 leak brings the exciting news we've been waiting for. Every indication that Samsung's flagship Galaxy S9, S9 Plus smartphones have been quite disappointing this far. And so they've got some eyeballs on the S10. It's just one phone after another at this point to me. It really is. All right. Where are we at on time? Oh, we're early. And let's see here. What's the date today? Did I cover that today is the today is the 14th? No. I'm looking at June already. I'm getting excited. You're getting ahead of my. So last show was on the 10th. Richard sent a message on SETI. He had a problem with SETI because he was the real alien and didn't want to be figured out. Well, that did cross my mind, Richard, just a little bit. All right. Very, very cool. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it here. I think I know what my audio problem was at the beginning of the show, and you guys are going to laugh at me. I'm such an idiot. I took a shower. And every time before a show, I run Q-tips into my ears to clean the water out. And I was sitting here tonight and the audio cleared up on the show. And it wasn't because I changed anything. It was because the water dissipated in my eardrum. So yes, just call me an idiot. It happens to the best of us. Oh my gosh. I'm such a knucklehead. All right, everyone. Thank you for your ongoing support of the show and for being here and for staying subscribed. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you today. I hope that Kirk will be with you on Thursday, doing the show on Thursday, because I will be in Monday, because I'm going to be contemplating the future of where podcasting at Raw Voice with my team is headed. So thanks for Kirk for standing in for the next two episodes. And then for a whopper in June. So definitely send Kirk feedback on the podcast as well as you do me. He'll have his address. He'll give that out during the show. But everyone, we'll see you back here two shows from now. And thanks for Kirk for stepping in. But everyone take care. See you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.